This morning we are, it is a going to be of a bit of a unique worship gathering. As many of you are aware, we've been focusing on the topic of prayer for some time now, and we will continue to emphasize that in the coming weeks. This morning is going to be more or less a prayer service. I'm not going to be preaching this morning, but instead we're going to have different segments of prayer that we will be led in prayer, and there will also be opportunity for us to break up into groups for some focused prayer as well. But before we do that, I know often anytime we do a service like this, or we're going into some activity that involves prayer, especially involves us having to pray with other people, immediately we get a little bit of anxiousness, and maybe we're nervous about that. Well, I've invited Kristen Cohey to come on up here because no one is more nervous right now than Kristen. I can assure you of that. Here's Kristen, and let's go ahead and welcome Kristen on up here. You can come on in, get in the light over here, Kristen. And I asked Kristen to share a little bit about her experience with the one-hour prayer activity. Many of us leading up to Easter, you might recall, we signed up on the 48 hours of prayer, in which the 48 hours leading up to our Resurrection Sunday worship gathering, many of us took an hour time slot. And Kristen had a great experience during that time, and I asked her just to share a little bit about that experience and what she learned from this. And so I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Kristen. I've got a couple of questions that I'll ask her. Kristen, the first question is, I know this was your first time signing up for the 1 hour of prayer. Why do you think that this was your first adventure in such a long period of prayer like that?
Signing up for the 1 hour of prayer, as many of you know, I am the administrative assistant, so I create that banner. But that banner was intimidating to me. And just trying to think, how can I pray for an hour? What would I pray for an hour? And what scriptures should I look at for an entire hour? And then on top of that, we have young kids. And so just trying to think, when can I have an uninterrupted time to pray for an entire hour? So those are the challenges that kind of I was facing as I signed up, but I did sign up.
What did you learn through that 1 hour of prayer?
It was incredible. So I encourage you next year, if we do it again, sign up. And just how important it was to make prayer a priority in my life. Just to be the best mom that I can be the best wife I can be, I need my Savior. And I need that time of prayer. Other things that I learned, that I can pray for an hour, and the time really flew by, and I could have prayed longer. And so that was really an eye-opening experience for me, too. The last thing I learned was that I just need to be still. And as a mom, many of you know, we're not still. You know, there's always something that has to be done, needs to be done, you know, prepping for food, you know, prepping for meals. There's always something that needs to be done. And so just spending that time being still was incredible, because I learned that if I'm still, the Holy Spirit will speak to me. And just allowing Him to do that and to speak through me and that, through that time of prayer, it was amazing.
Kristen, you had mentioned that the idea of praying for 1 hour, you know, from start to finish, 60 whole minutes, was intimidating for you. But then you just said that you could have prayed longer.
Yeah.
Why is that? And I know there was a prayer guide that we used. Just take us through, how is it that you realized, good night, this hour has flown by. I could keep doing.
Yeah. The prayer guide was so beneficial, and it was helpful to guide me through it. The scriptures on the prayer guide, there was different scriptures in different segments, and reading through the scriptures, just allowing the Holy Spirit to pour over me, and reading it out loud, it was powerful and it was refreshing. So that was wonderful. And like I said before, just being still. And letting the Holy Spirit speak to me, the names that came to me while I was praying.
The
I,
names of God or the names of other people?
The names of other people. Okay. When in the segment, there was a section of praying for other people. And just the names that came to me, I wasn't sure what the situation was for that person, but I knew that if the Holy Spirit brought that name to me, I needed to pray for them. And so just having the opportunity to pray for our church family, for my family, pray for salvation, pray just for all the different situations that were brought to me.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much, Kristen. Let's give it up for Kristen. Great job. You can give that to me as well. And if any of you know Kristen, that is a complete step outside of her comfort zone to get up in front of each and every one of you to share that with you. And Kristen said that if you've never spent, you know, if you've never participated in a one-hour prayer initiative, that she encouraged us to do that next year. Just let me tell you, you don't have to wait until next year to be able to take time to pray for 1 hour and just find the benefit and the joy of that. Again, I've already shared with some of you are now just walking in. This morning is going to be a different type of gathering, a different type of service for us. We're going to have a time for a prayer of adoration. Marie will lead us during that time. We'll have a time of prayer for confession of sin. We'll have a time for prayer for personal revival. We're going to have a time in which we're going to be praying for our homes. Then we'll also wrap it up with a time of prayer of praise. And then we'll have some songs interspersed throughout this time also. And again, if you are here and if you're nervous about that, first of all, I want you to understand you're probably not the only one who is nervous about this morning's service. But it is very important for us to really get past these nerves and to begin just the practice of prayer. Again, over these last weeks, we've been talking about what it means to become a praying church. And this week, I was just reminded of the fact that I was reminded that titles say a lot. Take, for example, just the fact of a church. You know, when we say I'm a part of a church and what all that encompasses and what all that entails. And I'm tempted to say that when we say, you know, we want to be a praying church, if you were to tell some of the Old Testament, or not some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament early church members, you know, there shortly after the early church began there in the book of Acts, if you were to tell them that we are trying to become a praying church, chances are they probably would have gotten a bit of a puzzled look on their face, because they would have thought to themselves, why do you have to designate yourself as a praying church? Because shouldn't you just be praying people because you are a church? Take, for example, it would be like me saying that I'm a running marathoner, right? Well, that's just part of being a marathoner, is being a runner. Or if I were to tell you I'm a planting farmer, I don't need to tell you that I'm a planting farmer, because that's just part of what a farmer does. Or if I were to tell you I was an untrustworthy thief, right? Well, you would already know I'm untrustworthy if I'm a thief to begin with. So this idea of adding on to our title the fact that we're a praying church, really, I think it can be a little bit convicting, or it can be maybe a reflection of the lack of prayer that we have within this church, and I'm tempted to say even just within the American church at large. So we're really pushing this. We have been over the last number of weeks, and we will continue to do so on throughout the summer, of the importance of prayer and practicing prayer. So I want to encourage you to participate this morning. Don't just sit there because you're nervous, but just go ahead and get involved with what we're going to do. Marie's going to begin this morning with a prayer of adoration.
I'll be reading first from Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. in whose hand are the depths of the earth? The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. If you'll pray with me. God, the first word that strikes me in that psalm is that we sing, we are moved in our hearts because we adore you, because you are worthy of being loved and praised. Things that make us burst into song fill our hearts with joy first, and the song just comes out. It's an overflow. God, you are that kind of God. You are not a God who commands fear and trembling and trepidation. You are a God who has have redeemed our hearts and brought us to love you. Who is like you among the gods? Who is a God like you who pursues his people with a stubborn, faithful, and reckless love? You have forgiven us and called us to be your children. God, we praise you because though you created us and though we are but dust and we can only exist because of you, you don't treat us, God, as underlings and as less than. You treat us as image bearers. And you treat us as people you want to be in community with and in relationship with. What a privilege we have to follow a God who desires our hearts. God, you created mountains, you created the depths of the ocean. And I'm reminded in that example in scripture that you're the God of extremes, that you can create these strong, immovable, high altitudes of mountain rock. And you can create these deep, miles deep of cold, cool water. And you are the God of both. You're a God who is unchanging and faithful like those mountains. The words that we read in the Old Testament are the same. They are true of us today. God, the words we read of the early church, and as we read through history and we see your faithfulness, you are the same God. As we read through the annals of history, you are the faithful thread through all of human history. As we teach history to our kids, as we see it play out in our world, we acknowledge that it is in your hands, and we are grateful that we have a good God who is in charge of this world. And God, we thank you that you are a tender shepherd. You are a God who desires to lead us gently and intimately. You know our hearts. You know our needs. You meet us in surprising ways. There's been so many times in my life, God, where you just kind of knock me off my feet with how tender and personal you are. How did you know that? How did you know that's what I needed? That's the kind of God you are. And we praise you for being a God that we can feel safe with, that your strength is so great that we can take shelter and refuge in you, that your presence is so tender that we can lie down and rest, that your love is so calming that in our greatest fear, we can have peace. God, I thank you that as the heavens declare the glory of God, you have put a song in our hearts to sing back to you and exalt your name. And I pray that each one of us would feel you stirring in our hearts this morning and every time that we meet with you, God, that you would stir our affection for you. Because what you desire is not a people who follow you by rote religion or fear. You desire a people who love you. So please keep showing us more of you. Help us to fall more in love with you and surrender more to you. Help us to trust you. Thank you for being the great God that is faithful to all generations. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing the song, How Great Is Our God.
Splendor of the King. Oh. our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God.
You guys go ahead and be seated.
One of the privileges we have as Christians is communication with God. And communication is a two-way street. He speaks to us through his word and through the teaching of his word. And we speak back to him through prayer. And of all the different prayers we've been studying, one of the most important is the prayer of confession. And I want to read to you from Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4, the importance of that prayer of confession. And as I read this, I want you to listen to the words, but I want you to listen more to the psalmist's heart. What's going through his mind as he's saying these words? Why is it important to him? Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. And so you see, the psalmist understands what sin does. It distorts our communication with God. It interferes with our reverence, worship, and service with God. And sin makes it impossible for us to stand before God. And that's why confession is so important. And on the back of our bulletins, we've got a list of prayers, evaluation, and confession. At the very top, Michael's put 1 John 1:9, and that's such an important prayer because that is what restores our communication with God. So I would like to represent our congregation, a sinner among sinners, and confess to God this morning. And after I finish, I would like to take a few minutes of silence for each one of you to silently go before God, examine your lives. If there's any sin that you know, confess that, admit it. Don't try to sugarcoat it, cover it up, rationalize it. Just name it to God, and that communication will be opened up again. Heavenly Father, we are a congregation who tries to serve you and worship you and praise you and do your bidding. But Father, we are a congregation of sinners, and sin disrupts that relationship. It disrupts that communication. It disrupts our ability to do what it is you want us to do. And there's no denying it, Father, that we are sinners. We can try to cover it up. We can try to minimize it. But it doesn't do any good, Father. Sin has affected all of us. The Bible says the Lord looked down upon the earth to see if there was anyone who sought God, and there was not one. No one, not one, is righteous. And so, Father, we realize that as long as we go through life, we will have sin. And if we don't do something about that sin, if we don't confess it to you, then our entire lives will be in disruption, and we need to confess our sins. And so, Father, as a member of this congregation, I come before you and admit openly that I have sinned, that we all have sinned, thought, word, and deed. None of us have any corner on the market of righteousness. There are things we do, things we say, things we think that are offensive to you. And those offenses disrupt our relationship with you. And we don't want that, Father. We want to be restored, fully restored so we can serve you, fully restored so we can represent you, and fully restored so we can receive all your blessings you have planned for us and you have for us, because you have many, Father. Father, I'd like to just say that we say we're sorry. Sometimes we really are, sometimes we're not. But that's not the important thing. It's the admission that we are, that we have done these things, is what you're looking for. You want us to agree with you about our predicament. And you've promised that you're faithful, that when we do that, all that will be forgiven and we will be restored to you. And so now, Father, for the next few minutes, I would like you to pay close attention to our hearts as we confess silently our prayers, as we pray to you, our sins of our confession of sins. Father, in this time of silence, we come to you. We confess our sins, and we know that you are faithful. You've promised that we will be forgiven of these sins. And Father, I pray that for my brothers and sisters, that each time we come to you, first of all, with a prayer of confession, that we admit to you what we've done wrong, what we've thought wrong, what we've said wrong. And Father, I pray that we'll do this every time we pray, especially before coming into church to worship you, Father. It's so important that we be on a right relationship. And I thank you for this privilege, Father. I thank you for providing us with the ability to communicate with you and to restore the broken communication through the prayer of confession. Amen.
We want to share with you this time, having a time of personal revival. We know revival to be a renewal, a revitalization, and a restoration. So I want to share with you at this time what, if I can find it again, what the Bible says on this subject. I'm reading from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, I believe. Yes, through 40. And in this passage it says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." 38, "Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts, and your righteousness preserve my life." And as we understand revival, it is renewal, it is revitalization, it is restoration. So at this time, I would like to pray for us for personal revival. Thank you, my God, for bringing us here to your house of worship one more time. Thank you for being our God. Thank you, Father, for forgiving our sins time and time and time again. Again, we stand before you, hoping to banish our sinful natures and bring glory to your name, to love you, and to go before you with reverence every single day, every single moment. And when we walk the streets and we carry on our lives, may those people know that we are followers of you. We are Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ and we follow his word. Lord, help us in our renewal of your word. May we spend time in your Bible meditating on your word day and night. And may we not only meditate on your word day and night, but may we also live your word day and night. Again, so that others may see that we're followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you for restoring our homes, for restoring our personal lives, and basically restoring our personal lives so that when we touch others, that God is also with us. And when we touch others, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And it's as if Jesus Christ is touching others. Not as if Jesus Christ is touching others, but Jesus Christ is touching others. Again, Father, thank you for our renewal. And when we leave this place, may we be different people than when we came in. In the name of Jesus.
You can't have true confession or true revival unless you really know that there is a need for Jesus Christ. And so as we sing, Lord, I need you, I encourage you, you can kneel, you can stand and raise your hands, you can sit in your chair, but as you sing this song, as you worship, realize that those two things can't happen without the need of Jesus. So let's sing, Lord, I need you. Song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand or fall on you, I need you.
During this next time, we're going to pray for different groups within our church body and within the world around us. So I ask you to go ahead and take a few minutes here, break into very small groups, and then I'll give us some scripture passage and lead us in prayer. But go ahead. This is the really uncomfortable, fun part. So go ahead, get in some small groups. You're going to be praying with these people for a few minutes here. So go ahead and gather your chairs around for me, please. I would like to transition into a time of praying for the husbands, praying for them to be leaders in their homes and to love their wives and to be men of integrity. So again, with those around you, take some time here for the next several minutes and pray for the husbands that are in Encounter Church. We'd like to continue praying, and we're going to transition now to praying for the wives in the household, that they will seek God and to love His Word supremely, that they will be faithful to their husbands and allow them to lead them, that they will teach their children to have faith in God and be content and not to give in to covetousness. So lift up the wives and those who are in our church. And finally, we transition into praying for the children that are in the homes, that they will be become sensitive and responsive to God and be obedient to their parents, that they will listen to their parents' godly teaching and example, but more importantly, follow Christ's example to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So pray for the children of Encounter Church. And I'd like to close us up during this time now, if you would. So, Father, we do thank You that as Your church, that we are Your people, and we have committed to stand in those gaps and pray for our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our singles, and our wives, Lord, that we will be the people that will stand and will fight for those as they are working, Lord. And we know that we can take comfort that You are our King and that You are ultimately our protector. And, Lord, that we know that those around us are lifting us up as well. Father, we thank You for this time of prayer, and we thank You that we are Yours. Lord, hear our prayers. Bless those husbands. Bless those wives. Bless our singles. And bless our children. And we lift this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
And as we continue in praise here, I'm going to read from Revelations 15, verses 3 and 4. As you guys transition towards the front, I guess. Let us stand as we read this final word and conclude the service today with singing. Revelations 15, verses 3 and 4 continues to say, they held harps given to them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are Your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear You, O Lord, and bring glory to Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. Please continue in prayer with me. Lord, we just stop and we know our schedules and the business of the weeks and the days, and we just ask that we can just be still and know that You are God, that You are worthy of praise. And we are encouraged in knowing that together we're praying for each other to continue just to worship You, Lord. We ask that our lives are worshiping You, that daily we worship You, and not just in the worship gathering now, but tomorrow morning when we wake up, that our lives are worshiping You. And I ask this for my life, for the church leaders' lives, and for everyone that walks in and out of these doors, and for the Christians worldwide, that each of us can continue to grow and live out our purpose and worship You as our King and our Father, and know that You are near, and to know that You are God. We pray this all in Your name, Lord. Amen.
And to think that the mighty fortress is our God, and yet we are privileged to be able to enter into the throne room, the Holy of Holies, through Jesus Christ, and we enter into a throne room of grace where He is willing and wanting and waiting and anticipating our communion, our prayer with Him. Church, I don't know if you fully recognize, I don't think we fully recognize what we just took part in, the activity of prayer. It's an activity that we've been called, that we've been instructed, that we're privileged to participate in, until Jesus returns. And then we won't have to pray anymore. Did you know that? There's a day coming that we're looking forward to where prayer will cease because we will see Jesus face to face and we will be able to have direct face-to-face communication with him. And I look forward to and I long for that day. But until that day, we as a church will continue to pray. Encounter Church, don't forget, next week if you show up here at 10 o'clock, you'll be very lonely. All right? But you'll still have time to go home and get changed and then join with us at Charlie Vetner Park, and that the picnic will begin at 11 o'clock. We will eat at 11:30. And so make sure, don't just slough off that Sunday. That is, what takes place at the park is just as valuable, just as important as what takes place in this and in here on Sunday mornings. And so make sure that you make that a priority to join with us. And so we'll look forward to seeing you there next week. Until then, keep praying.